welcome you to His Tabernacle Family Church, where our goal is to help you become successful in your relationship with Jesus. The first step? Join us in the Connect Room directly following service. This is for anyone who does not feel like they are connected to the family of God. Step two is to help discover more about God, yourself, and the church through Discover Classes and Discover Weekend. You can get more info in the Connect Room. The third step leaves all the choices up to you. To develop, one, your faith through classes, two, your relationships through groups, or three, God's church through serving. Finally, we want to help you lead in life. Step four is a course to equip you with biblical principles for success, influence, and leadership. Come and connect after service to take your next step today.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? See, it's crazy because 9 a.m. is louder than the 11 a.m. service. So let's try it again. Good morning. How's everybody doing? See, it's so much better. Look, what we wanted to show you with our very, very easy explainer video is that we've relaunched our next steps. And instead of just having a guest reception because we care about everybody, we've realized that not everybody is connected in the house. So what does that mean? After service, if you're saying, hey, I just don't feel connected. Maybe I once was, maybe I'm not now. We want to invite you to the connection room. There's coffee, there's snacks, but most importantly, it's your first step in what's next so you can be a part of the house of God and the family of God. So we want to invite you to the connect room. And they'll tell you about Discover Classes, which are Sunday mornings at 9:30, right after worship. And you can start attending those whatever week it is, because they just continue to circle around. And they're great. But my one major announcement today is that February 5th and 6th, we have a marriage conference. And we would love to invite all the married or almost married people, I think, to that conference. And you can find more information this week on social media and our website, but we would love for you to be a part of this, because we know as the family goes, the church goes, and the stronger our families are, the better we are. Amen? Amen. Pastor wants the microphone, so here he is.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. I said good morning, everybody. I wanted to let you know where Pastor Rhonda is right now. Pastor Rhonda is on her way to Florida. She was given an invitation. I just want to share with you so you can participate with her. This week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, she'll be on live international television with Kelly Gillum, Carolyn Shuttlesworth, Jenny Robert, my wife, and Nicole Crank. And for anybody who knows, those are international names. And what a great privilege. Many of you might not know. How many of you know Pastor Jade? That's my daughter-in-law. Actually, they're heading back to Africa later on today for a visit. But Pastor Jade's family is the one who started Christian television in all of Africa. So her grandfather actually started that outreach, that ministry. Then they, at one point in time, coagulated with TBN. They were the TBN of all of Africa and all of England. And since then, they went back on their own. So they're still the largest television ministry in all of Africa, all of England, parts of Europe, and now in the United States of America. So what a great ministry that is. And I'm blessed that we're blessed to share Pastor Rhonda. Amen. So we're going to be sharing with literally millions, tens of millions of people, our pastor's wife, this week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. If you would like to watch, you could get on Faith Broadcasting Network. You can look that up. Faith Broadcasting Network. It's on the internet as well as it's on regular television, as well as if you'd like to get the app, it's called Faith Now. That's the app, Faith Now. And Pastor Ron will be on with everybody Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, starting at 11 a.m. every morning. So I'm just excited that she's been given this great opportunity to share the gospel, to share what God's put in her life. And I'm a little sad that we've got to share her, but happy. Amen? So let's just keep Pastor Rhonda in prayer. Are you ready to worship today? We're going to have, the sermon's a little unique today, so get ready. Get ready. It's going to be a great day. Let's stand to our feet. Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're here to bless your name. Thank you for the week of fasting and prayer. God, our hearts are prepared. Our hearts are ready that you will move in our lives, that you'll transform us, that Jesus, you'll be glorified through us, and that God will bring glory to your name. In the name of Jesus. And everybody shouted, amen.
you up.
Thank you.
It's all about you.
It's all about you.
It's all about you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
It's all about you.
It's all about you.
It's all about you.
Worship you, Lord.
It's all.
In 25 different places. Wrangle it all together. The Bible says, bring into captivity every thought and imagination that would raise itself up against God. And let's sing that to Him. If you need to kneel, kneel, sit, sit, stand, stand. But let it come right out of your spirit. Sing it right to Him. Some of you need a spiritual breakthrough. Spiritual breakthroughs don't come by just being in a room. It's being in the room. Is a difference. You can be in a conversation or you can be in the conversation. Let's be in with Christ. Sing to Him. And if you sing horrible, sing soft. But sing to Him. Men, I'm talking to you too. I can't sing. But I love God more than I care what anybody thinks. I don't really give a flying leap what anybody thinks about me. I had to learn that a long time ago. Sing to Him.
It's all about you.
Yes, it is.
It's all about you.
It's all about you,
Jesus.
It's all. Can do whatever it wants to do, but you are stable. We put our trust in you and in nothing else. It's all about you, Jesus. Thank you that you rose again on that third day. Thank you we're not serving a dead religion or a dead God, but a risen Savior and King. Thank you, Jesus, that you are greater than anything or anyone. Thank you, Jesus, that we have that stability in you, even though everything else might be rocking and rolling. You are our steadfast. It's all about you. You deserve all of our praise, all of our glory. I sense in my spirit, some of you are mad at God. You're angry with Him. You prayed for something, you believed for something, and it didn't seem to happen. And you come to church every week, but you're bitter inside. You're not bitter against another person, you're bitter against God. You're angry with Him. And it's time to lay that hurt down. Many times we forget that God is not moved by our needs. God is moved by faith. And when we try to get God to do what we want him to do, even though it would be a serious situation with no faith mingled, it doesn't activate the kingdom principles. And so we want God to move. We expect God to move, but we expect him to move through our way, our principles, our demand, and not how the kingdom works. That's why you're angry with him, because you tried to motivate him with your manipulation, even your expectation, but not through faith. You can trust God. Listen now, don't always understand, but you can trust God. He's good. It's all about him. Lay your hurt down today, and God will restore the joy of your salvation. Lay your hurt down today, and you'll find the bitter root start to be torn up in your life. You think it's just affecting that, but it literally is affecting every relationship in your life. People are suffering because you refuse to stop being angry with God. Lay it down. Job was restored everything 2 times in Job 42 when he put his hand over his mouth. And he said, I have spoken things I know not of. He repented. And then he was restored. God wants to restore you. Not only your joy, but what you have lost since then because of the bitter root you've carried. God will. Put your hand over your mouth. Repent. I've spoken things I know not of. Were you in heaven when I called it into existence? Can you throw lightning from the sky? I've spoken things I know not of, and I ask you to forgive. In Jesus' name. Amen. He loves you. We don't always get it. We don't always understand. We don't always understand the intricacies that are happening behind the scenes. But there's a song we sing here, and I don't remember how it goes, but he's working those things for. Yeah, even when you don't see him working.
Even when I don't see it.
That's the one. You got it? You close? Go.
Darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Sing it now, says it all, doesn't it? Says it all. Says it all. I pray if that was you, you laid it down this morning. You can only gain. I'm writing a book on forgiveness. Number one, it's mandatory to go to heaven. You can't go to heaven without forgiveness. Number two, forgiving somebody that's hurt you, that's still alive. How do you forgive them? How to forgive somebody that hurt you, offended you, that is now dead? How do you forgive them? How do you forgive somebody who perpetually hurts you? How to forgive yourself and how to forgive God. Oh, it's going to be a good one. I think we can all benefit that. Amen. And I just know this. Forgiveness sets you free. So there's liberty in your own heart. Be a forgiver. Turn to someone and say, I'm a forgiver. Some of you are prophesying over your life. Amen. Because some of you love grudges. Amen. Some of you have held grudges for so many decades, you don't even know why you still have them. But I want you to know that a grudge only creates death in your life. Amen. Turn to someone and say, I'm a forgiver. Tell somebody else, I'm a forgiver. Tell somebody else, I forgive you. You know I'm a forgiver if I can forgive you. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. Sorry about that. Is that all right? You did great. I'm so excited about Minister McKenzie and our team and what they did this week for fasting and prayer. What a great week. Amen. What a great week. That's your sister? Amen. Isn't that true? It is your sister. Amen. Yes, it's true. Today I'm going to be short. By faith, I'm going to be short. Amen. I'm excited about this year. I'm excited what God is doing this year. I'm excited that you and I are a Book of Acts church. Shout it out loud. I'm a Book of Acts believer. Come on, shout it out. I'm a Book of Acts believer. Tell somebody else, I'm a Book of Acts believer. One thing I recognize is that Jesus is the one who set up his church, and therefore, through the Book of Acts, has taught us how he wants his church to run. And it's so important because as the body of Christ has deviated so desperately from the design of the great designer called God, you'll find that the impact has been less and less and less in the communities that they're involved in. In fact, the many churches, if they close tomorrow, the community would not know except that there's a for sale sign in the front yard. You've got to know that that's not the plan of God. As we were, Pastor Andre and I, we were talking yesterday, as the church goes, the country goes. And this is where with the country, we look at it, the divisions within the country, we can see it more clearly within the church realm. Not only from church to church, but also right in a local church, the divisions that are represented. I've given the example before, but one time I was going to itinerant at a church in Ohio. And I stood up, it was an Easter Sunday morning, and they were going to vote on me that afternoon. Man, there's nothing worse than having people vote on you. Going to vote on me that afternoon, whether they wanted me to be their pastor or not. So here I am, I preached a dynamic message. I laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost is moving, people are healed, going out in the Spirit, woo! And then afterwards, they did questions and answers. Well, the church was unique because it was just an aisle down the middle, either side, there's 300 people in the church, and I'm having a great time, and they started asking me questions, that's very unique. And the vote came down, and I did not win the vote to be the pastor of that church. And you should say, because I wouldn't be here if they had voted me in. And so the answer was no. Later on, I was so thankful. Listen, you don't always see God moving, but God is moving because he knows things you don't know. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Come to find out, that church was divided literally right down the middle. everybody on this side of the church hated everybody on this side of the church. And whatever this side of the church voted for, this side voted against. I want you to recognize that that church is now about 30 people. Why? Because where the church goes, the country goes. And it's time for the church to get back to the Bible-believing Book of Acts principles that Christ has set in order to see the church arise, especially in these last days. It is unacceptable to be a church where you just go and visit, hang out. Listen, I got folks that have been in this church 10 years and you still don't know anybody. Say amen or oh my if that's you. We actually just started a new room right after church. If you are, listen, if you are new in the house, or maybe you're 10 years or more in the house and you still don't know anybody, we got a connect room right on the other side of this wall. Right after service, make your way on over there. We'd love to be able to get you connected because there are amazing people in this church. Turn to someone and say, you are an amazing person. Now that you said it to the person you like, turn to the person you don't like and say, you are an amazing person. I want you to recognize that we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. That even though, listen now, everybody in the country thinks it's Democrats against Republicans. I want you to hear me now very, very clearly. We fight not against flesh and blood. This is not about a Republican. It's not about a Democrat. It's not about independent. It's not about Antifa. It's not about any of that stuff. This is about there's a spiritual warfare. Don't look at these things which can be seen, but look at the things which cannot be seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It's so important that we recognize that we are literally fighting a spiritual warfare, and the devil, who's gone spasmodic, just absolutely crazy, really rushing because he knows his time is short, that he's trying to divide not only the people of the world, but remember, it always starts in the church. And the church has to make a decision to get back to the Book of Acts. We've got to make a decision to go back to God's plan. We've got to make a decision that God's word is above my word. It's above your word. It's above a church's word. It's above a government's word. It's God's word that is number one. When we recognize that, the church can get back to what it's supposed to be doing. Can I hear an amen or oh my? This whole pandemic has been so diabolical in the essence of literally dislocating and dismembering and literally disenfranchising people, the people of God, by isolation. And I'm here to tell you that isolation is not the mind of God. The Word of God made a very clear distinction. We see this in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 19. And the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper who is right for him. Now, it's not just a husband and wife, but God did not make you to be isolated. God did not make you to be alone. This is why God created church, because we are the body of Christ. We are not alone. You are not alone unless you choose to be alone. There are many people that have said to me, well, Pastor, I don't like people. I'll just be honest with you. I don't like people. Listen, if you don't like people, the problem is not the people. The problem is that you have a wound in your heart that you have yet allowed God to heal because you have been created. Come on now. You have been created for community. You have been created. God created you to be around other people and like them. I didn't say like everybody. You gotta love everybody, but you don't have to like everybody. But the fact is that so many have gone into isolation during this season of time. And if you're watching by live stream, I'm not tearing you down, but I'm telling you, this is part of the diabolical plot to get you alone, dislocated from the body of Christ, so that you no longer come to church. You no longer have infrastructure. You no longer have the Book of Acts as your foundation. It's time to get back to the house of God. Now, I know some of you are homebound. That's just where you are. But some of you are staying home when you shouldn't be staying home. It's time to get back to the body of Christ. It's time to get back to the plan of God. It's time to be successful in God's design. You see, you and I cannot be successful outside of what God created. Here's the big fact. God created you and I because He does not want to be alone. Amen. We always make it look on us, but ultimately, God said, let us make man in our image. Remember, God had angels. God has angels. They're Isaiah chapter, they're around the altar. They're worshiping 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Listen, that's our time. Eternal time's even greater than that. I think it's Isaiah 6. So they're worshiping around the throne all constantly. And that's what he has. He has angels that do work on his behalf. Wherever he wants, whatever he desires, wherever they want, he just tells them to go. And they go. But God was after more than that. He was after someone who would have a relationship because God did not want to be alone. God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. That is with love. For without love, there is nothing. The Bible says that God is love. So God has placed love in our spirit. God has placed love in our hearts so that we would love him. We not just love him, but freely, out of choice, love him. God does not want to be alone. Therefore, you and I have not been created to be alone unless we're trying to hide. Hiding is wrong. God created you to be healthy and whole. Spirit, soul, and body. And today, if that is you, I'm going to push you to ask God to heal you. I'm going to push you to ask God to restore you, because God has placed a love for people in your life, yet it has been submerged by the wounds that you carry from whether it be a husband, whether it be a wife, whether it be a mother, whether it be a father, whether it be a friend, whether it be just a disappointment. You have literally gone into isolation in your own emotions to protect yourself, to keep you from being wounded again. But I've got news for you. If you're going to love people, you're always going to get hurt. I said, if you're going to love people, you're always going to get hurt, and you've got to be willing to be hurt. Turn to someone and say, I'm willing to be hurt. Some of you just lied. You better repent real quick. You've heard the cycle of love. Every time you love, you become vulnerable. Every time you become vulnerable, it is inevitable. You will be hurt. And every time you hurt, you've got to forgive or you cannot love again. This is the cycle of love. This is who you and I are. This is what God has and what God does. Thank God, God does the cycle of love. Because how many of you have ever sinned once? Sinned twice? Sinned three times? A lady. Every time you sin, you wound the heart of God. Yet God, because he's become vulnerable to mankind, has turned around and chosen to forgive when you ask, and therefore throw your sin as far as the east of the west, remembers it no more. And now that relationship is unbroken. This is what God's heart is. This is what God has for you. God has called you not to live life alone. Amen. Amen. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 12 says this, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three is even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. The mind of God is the community of God. I want to remind you, when God said, let there be, and there was, and he created Adam and Eve, that when he created Adam and Eve, he told them to do something. He didn't say, hey guys, let's just go hang out every day. Although that's what he did, because he didn't want to be alone either. But he told them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. God told them to start creating community. God told them to start procreating to build a family. The mind of God is community. The mind of God is family, where we put our hearts. Listen now, this is what he said about the Tower of Babel. He says, I've got to do something about this, because whenever man gets their heart all as one, moving in the same direction as they're moving as community, listen, there's nothing that they cannot do. So the working of the devil is trying to keep us individually and corporately separated, isolated, so that we're not going to work as one. Therefore, one shall put 1,000 to flight. That's nice. But two shall put 10,000. That's great. There's nice and then there's great. God has greatness for you, not just niceness. God's got the design for you, not just you making it by and hoping to make it to heaven. But God's got purpose for your life, and that is that we are not going to live in isolation, but that you and I are going to learn how to have community. We're going to learn how to have family. We're going to learn how to build relationships. We're going to learn that God had created this with his own heart and mind. How about the children of Israel? The Bible says that God loved his people, and that he created the children of Israel. It was a conglomeration, let's just talk about coming out of Egypt, of at least 2.5 million people. But even within the 2.5 million people, there are 12 tribes. Even amongst the 12 tribes, whenever you start seeing them go through genealogy, it starts talking about families. It starts talking about groups. I want you to recognize that the mind of God is never just the mass, but God wants to bring it to a smaller so that you and I can live and learn how to grow in him and act like him and literally make mistakes, not like him, but make mistakes so that we can grow together. How about Jesus? Jesus lived the same way. We know the book of Matthew, there was at least 70 that he sent out. We know out of the 70, there were at least 12 disciples. And out of the 12 disciples, there were three that he held even closer. Jesus didn't just teach this stuff, he lived this stuff. And you see, this is where the body of Christ has literally deviated from the design of the master creator, because we literally have flown into and sown into how the world desires to design the church instead of how God created the church. I don't care what religion says. I don't care what a preacher says. I don't care what a denomination says. I care what God says. I'm a Book of Acts believer, and I'm going to live according to what God's word says, not what man says. And when we do that, we'll see the success of heaven, not just the success of man. Amen. You see, you can have man's success, but it always is smaller than God's success. I want God's success. This comes by learning the mind of God. How about when the church started? Jesus said that go tarry in Jerusalem to receive the promise of the Father. That day in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, they were baptized in the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues. As the 120 were in the upper room, they spilled out into the Jerusalem. Peter stood up and preached the very first message of the church, the ecclesia, the body of Christ. And that day, 3,000 men got saved. That does not include women or children. And as he preached the gospel, they all got born again. They all got baptized. They got filled with the Holy Ghost, and they started to have church within Jerusalem. Not too many chapters later, you'll find that another 5,000 men were born again. Listen now, there was not a location where 8,000 could meet every single day. Now, this is important because in the book of Acts chapter 2, we literally see that Jesus taught them through principle that he lived on the planet, but then spoke it through the prophets, where he said that they worship God together at the temple each day. What? You mean church every day? You mean I gotta go to church every day? Like every day? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday? See, the change that's happened in the body of Christ is that the body of Christ has gone from a place of literally following the book of Acts, where they met daily in the temple, to now the average church attender is one out of every 3 weeks. We just don't have time. Well, you know, I'm inconvenienced. Well, I planned something else. Now, I'm not talking vacations. We all need a vacation. Say amen. We all need some sunshine. Say, you know, not to make you angry or anything, but I'm leaving this afternoon to sunny Florida for a week and a half. I'm trailering down the Harley and I'm going to slide on A1A. Glory to God. We all need a vacation. That's not what I'm talking about. But what's happened is the heart has changed in the body of Christ. It is no longer that Jesus Christ is number one. It is no longer that God's design is number one. But what it is if I have time for God's design, I'll fit him in. And if I fit him in, then I'll feel good when I leave. But God's design is not for you to feel good. God's design is for you to be empowered. It's to be anointed. It's to be somebody that is called to do mighty works for the kingdom of Jesus, especially in these last days. The Bible has called us to live a different way than the people of the religion and the people of church. Amen. Oh, say amen. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say to me, well, pastor, I just don't fit in this church. I don't fit in. I don't feel welcome. I'm going to go look, find another church. How can you not fit into a church of 1,000 people? It's easy. You choose not to be part of a community. You choose not to know anybody. I guarantee there's at least 10 people in this room like you. How many here knit? 1, 2, 3, 4. Knit. Crochet. It's good that you're raising your hand, Todd, but I don't really think you do. Amen. Back there, very good. There's at least 7 or 8 people that knit and crochet in this room. And more, I'm sure. You're men, you just don't want to raise your hand. My grandmother taught me, her nickname was Sergeant, and during the blizzard of 1978, my grandmother got stuck at my house. And she hated men. If you knew my grandfather, you'd understand. And so she hated men. And I had to do all the wood. I had to do all the dishes. And she made me learn how to crochet. So I'm joining your group. It's amazing that no matter where you are, you love old cars. How many here like antique cars? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. That's a big group. It's amazing when you realize how many people in the room like what you like. But what happens is this. We come in with a mindset of, well, I really don't know anybody, and I really don't really want to know anybody. I'm kind of just by myself. Me and my wife, we just kind of do our thing. We come in, we pop out, shake a few hands, and say, kumbaya. But we've got to make a decision that we've got to do it God's way. The Bible says they went to the temple daily. Now, I'm not saying you're going to go to church every day. We do live differently. But at the same time, going to church once every 3 weeks doesn't cut it either. Thank you, Jen. Appreciate that. God's design is that not just that he's going to create a community of us as a whole, but that God said that if success was going to be brought to the church, that they not only met daily within the temple, but then they went house to house and fellowshipped. They built relationships outside of just sitting in a pew, sitting in a chair, sitting in a synagogue, sitting in a temple. They built relationships to where they got to know people, and they built relationships like God wants to build with us so that we have family that's within the household of faith. See, God calls us a household. Now, I don't know about you, but if my children decided they want to be, they were part of my household, they were birthed in my household, and they came and left anytime they wanted to, they took this food, that food, didn't do anything, didn't help out, didn't say hello, didn't say thank you, guess what? I'm locking the stinking door. Why? That's disrespectful. God's house is one where he wants to build a community to where we know each other, where we have relationships, and yet there are still, just like Jesus, he had the 70, he had the 12, and then he had the 3, where we are building relationships to be strengthening of each other, encouraging one another, so we can be there for one another, not in isolation, come on now, where we're just taking care of ourselves, like the scripture says there, that if it's two people, that you cannot be overcome. And 3 braided cord is even better, cannot be broken. But if you're all by yourself, you're going to get attacked and you're going to be defeated. And then you're going to get mad at God. Where were you? And God is saying, no, no, no. Where were you? See, he's provided for us everything we need to grow with. He showed us in his word. This is what you need to do to grow individually and to grow as a church. So the church at large has to make decisions. This is why some people don't like it here. It's just straight up. Some people don't like it here because I'm going to push you to do it the Bible way. If you want to do religion way, let me tell you how to do it. Ready? You can go find a church. This is how they do it. You go to church and you show up whenever you want. You don't talk to anybody. You don't help. You throw George in the plate and you bug out before anybody could say hello. Amen. That's not how God works. That's not the plan of God. That is not how God thinks. God said they met daily in the temple, and then they went house to house and ate together. Come on now, we all eat good. Can I hear an amen on the food side? Jesus is good. I love food. When I got COVID, I lost my taste and my smell. And I prayed that day, Jesus, I love food way too much to let this occur too long. I had my taste back within a week, and I said, I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God created us not just corporate, but individual, so we can build relationships. We have something here called groups. It's the same thing as going house to house. Okay. What's really cool about his tabernacle groups is that we have about 50% of the people that are in this house going to a group. The average in American churches are about 30%. But you need to know something. Because I'm your pastor, I'm not interested in just doing better than other people. I'm interested in you personally growing. So even though the other 50% are in, that means 50% are out. If the 50% are out, that means they're not going to climb to the greatest capacity that Christ has for them, that he purchased for them. They're not going to be who God has called them to be in fullness. They're going to just survive. They're going to make it by to heaven by the hair of their chinny chin chin. But God has greater things than just making it by. He said, I've made you more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. But you cannot be more than a conqueror if you're not going to do it God's way. Hello, are you out there? So why would God say they went house to house? Acts 2:47 says it this way. Oh, well, where are we? Let me go. But one more. Here we go. 2:42. All believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That means they're at church. And to fellowship. The word fellowship there means koinonia. It's the Greek word koinonia. It means building relationship with people that you did not know before. When you come to the house of God, and especially during this pandemic thing where they are trying to teach everybody to be isolated for the rest of your life, this is the new norm. Baloney. God's the norm. Amen. God's the norm. I'm not saying don't be COVID wise, don't be COVID concerned, but don't be COVID stupid either. I have people that are going to Walmart, they're going to Lowe's, they're going out to eat, but I can't come to church, I'm scared. Really? You're not scared. You fell into the trap of the devil that got you isolated, got you disconnected, and now whether you realize it or not, one can be attacked, one can be destroyed, but two can go back to back and always win, and three is a cord that cannot be broken. I'm sorry, I had to give you the Bible because I didn't want to give you my opinion. When we recognize the importance of being more than just a visitor in a church, there are folks that have been in the church 10 years that still don't know anybody. That's why we created the Connect group. The Connect room over here on the side. And we talk to the staff and we're saying, it's just not for new people that come into the building for the first time or within the first month, but there are folks that have never connected to anybody. They've never known anything more than just, hey. Go into that room after service. We want to get you connected. Why? Because you are such an important person. God has fearfully and wonderfully made you. God has designed you. You have gone through hell and back in some areas that other people desperately need your faith to make it through. I remember there was a woman in our church. Her name was Mary, and she was a great woman. She's been with me since 1992, and that's a long time. And her son had committed suicide. It was a horrible event. It was a horrible situation. The crushing of a mother, the crushing of a heart. She was just a mess constantly. But yet, because she was a believer, yet because she was connected, there was somebody that was connected to her. You see, we said, this person already experienced this. Now let's connect them two together. And then as they connected them together, one was able to build the other. And now, before Mary, she ended up moving. But before Mary was moving, if anybody in the house had that same kind of situation, we would connect Mary with that person because Mary had made it through. Mary had kept her faith. Mary had grown. Mary had healed. And even though it was tragic, even though it was diabolical, even though it was not God's plan, all things can work together for good to those that are in Christ Jesus. See, some of you have gone through great trials in your body, great trials in your family, great trials in relationships, great trials with your parents, great trials in your finances, great trials. Listen now, there's trials. But what is amazing is when we have family, when we have groups, when we meet somebody who knows somebody who's already come through something. I want you to know that you don't have to go through alone. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Not just because God is with you, but because God has coupled you with somebody who's already had the victory through it. We need each other. I said, we need each other.
Amen.
I said, we need each other.
Amen.
We might not always like each other, but we need each other. Amen. You see, that's the great part about becoming part of a group. Because as part of a group, you got to recognize that you learn things within a group of people that you cannot learn as an isolated individual. Number one, you learn how to shut your mouth. There are people that are way too dangerous, especially on Facebook. Willing to say things on Facebook you'd never say to someone's face. I'm not always like good. One time somebody said something to me on Facebook, and I private messaged them, where would you like to meet? Because I really wanted to meet them and have them be brave enough to say that to my face. Because I can become unpasteurized at times. I just confess that. Is that right? Confession is good for the soul. And you know, people are just brave. They're not really brave. Brave with a keyboard, but never be brave with a face. Because you actually might meet somebody who can smucker you. I learned this a long time ago. You really never know the background of the person that you're flipping off at the four-way. You don't really know who they are. You don't know if they were, you know, special agents that carry Uzis underneath their jacket or something. You know what I mean? You just never know. So I you know, you gotta be nice to people. You learn this in groups. You learn this in groups. Amen? You learn how to be nice to people because you got to see them whenever you get together. You learn that you need people. You know, I sometimes get very jealous of the bars. The bars serve spirits, the wrong spirit, but the spirits. Spirits and wine. I mean, they already tell you what they give you. They give you the devil. But when they're in trouble, they'll call on each other, and guess what? They'll be there. When you're separated and just going to the congregation, when you need help, you got nobody to call. See, we got to be faithful. Because faithfulness is going to push you in a position to where you're going to be a blessing, not only to yourself, you're not only going to receive, but you're going to be able to give. You know what's amazing, too, when you're part of a group? It keeps you from sliding away. Has anybody ever struggled with their walk with God before and everybody else is a liar and you're all going to hell? I said, has anybody ever struggled with their walk with God before? Has anybody ever said, I don't know, man, Jesus. When you're in a group, guess what happens? You're in enough relationship that you can walk in with a smile on Sunday, faking the whole bacon. But somebody in your group's going to look at you and go, something's wrong with you. Ain't right. Ain't right. I feel it deep inside. No. Oh. And you better hope it's not Sister Johnson, because she's going to tell you where the bear crap's in the buckwheat. Mama Johnson, grab you. But you see, if you're isolated, then you can easily be falling away from Jesus, showing fake on the outside, and be gone inside. When you're part of a group, listen, I've got a group. I've got a group of men that I text in the morning, most mornings. And in that group, you know, somebody said to me once, do you do like a mass text? No. Anybody I send a message to in the morning, I look at your text, I pray for you, then I send it individually. And I do that for a reason. Because I love you. But some of them, I've given the boot pretty good too. I love Brother Josh. Brother Josh, can you stand and sit and wave to everybody? Amen. Brother Josh Fuchsman is one of our board members. Can you thank him for being a board member at his tabernacle? But for years, I was after Josh. For years, his daddy would just send me a note. Can you just reach out to Josh? So Josh grew up in a Christian home. Grew up in church, saw bad things. And he and his family were turned off. And your brother was in service, first service, by the way. And so here he is, man. He was turned off. And so I'm after. I got that Holy Ghost hound on me now. Woo! And I'm running after Josh. And I'm running after Josh for 3 years. And then the fourth year comes in and I said, this will be my last message to you. If you need me, you know how to reach me. Click. Josh said that did something for him. And he said, okay. And now God is using him in a mighty way as a board member. God is using him. Listen, he's got his own company. His company has flourished. God is blessing him. God is blessing his family. All because he got the boot. But if I was not in relationship with him, he would never have gotten a boot. Amen. Josh would be still serving the devil. Oh my.
It's important to know that we need each other, that groups do this for us. They keep us from falling away. One of the great things about groups that I love is it teaches you. It teaches you how to forgive, because you cannot not be in a group and not get offended. One of the great gifts I have is offense. I told you from the pulpit from the very beginning that if you come here long enough, I promise to offend you. Amen. Amen. I've had people get up and walk out. I've had death threats. I've had letters you wouldn't believe. I had one lady, man, she was sending me a letter a week. She was calling me a false prophet. She still came every Sunday. Calling me a false prophet. And no. She's doing all this stuff. But you know something? I realize that the closer we are to people, the easier it is to be offended, the easier it is to learn how to forgive. Because if you can't forgive, you can't be forgiven. Come on now. We've got to recognize that if you're isolated, you don't have to worry about forgiveness because you're not around anybody to offend you. You think that's good? That's not good. That's bad. You know, my Bible school that I went to, Zion Bible Institute at that point in time, it's changed its name a few times since then, the rooms were very small. You didn't get to choose your roommates. There were two bunk beds and enough room to walk through the middle of the bunk beds. That's all there was. That's not a lot of room for four grown men. One of my roommates was a gentleman named David. David was, 35 years old. Remember, this is 1984. He had just had a gastro bypass. Now, think about it. 1984, they don't got a lot of this stuff down pretty good. So it allowed David to do things that humans should not be allowed to do and smell a way that no human should either. My other roommate, his name was Kevin. He was 17 years old, had his first child at 14 years old from Detroit. Me, I was just a pain in the rear end, always causing problems, one of those irritants that constantly was getting in trouble. And then we had Danny, 24 years old, had still not kissed a woman from Northern Maine. Here's four of us in a room. You would think that it's beautiful. Oh, no. Because David loved to torture Kevin. So he would grab Kevin, wrap him up. He was a big man. Wrap him up and just start releasing the fumigation process. And it smelled so horrible, you could not stay in the room. And here poor Kevin is dry heaving constantly. It was very offensive. One thing you learned in that room was how to forgive. I had another roommate before David came, and his name was Stephen. Stephen was 32 years old, had just gotten out of Walpole State Prison. He had been there for drugs and had multiple times had guns pointed to his head. One time he said the gun was pointed to his head during a bad drug deal. The trigger was pulled and it went click. Ended up in prison, got saved in prison, and got put in my room. Poor guy. Steve loved his radio. So Steve was in the top bunk and I was in the top bunk. So I'd wait for Steve to start relaxing. I'd jump out and I'd turn his radio off. He would climb out of bed, walk over, turn his radio on and stare at me. Get back into bed. I'd wait for him to get in bed, start to relax, turn it off. I did it three times and then he jumped out of bed, walked over to me and said, "Listen now, I just came from Walpole State Prison. I know how to take your face off in less than 30 seconds. You touch my radio again, I'll kill you." Now, there's some people you're not sure if they're kidding. I'm not sure. I didn't touch his radio. But I learned how to have relationships because I did not have a choice, because I did not isolate myself. I was in a room with three other guys from different worlds, and yet I had to learn how to have and be forgiving even when I personally was offended. Some of you have not
Some of you are so soft in offense that you're driven out of church because you've been offended so easily and you've not learned how to forgive, and now you'll carry a grudge all the way to hell. Listen now, you got to learn how to be offended and then how to forgive. You can't do that in isolation. Say amen or oh my. You got to learn how to be accountable. When you're not showing up at church and your group calls you up, where are you? Listen, how many of you have ever seen me text messaging during the worship service? Do you know what I'm doing? Where are you? I'm looking for you. I don't see you. Josh got a lot of those. I don't see you. Where are you? I got to send one more this morning. Said he was showing up, did not. Where are you? Accountability. We don't want to be accountable to anybody, but the plan of God in the family of God, in the community of God, is not just that we come into this room, because you're really not accountable to anybody in this room. It's not till you start building relationships with going house to house or groups that you now know somebody close enough so that you now have the right to speak into their life. You have the right to encourage their life. You have the right to put a boot in their life. You have a right to grab them by their shirt tail. You have a right to encourage them with the right words. You have the right to discern where they are. We need each other. And when we separate ourselves, it's not going to empower the body of Christ to fulfill the destiny that he has. Now, I want to say this, and I'll end with this. If you follow that verse, down near the very bottom of that chapter, it says this. When they did that, they mend the temple daily, and then they turned around and they went house to house. They had koinonia. They had fellowship. That the church grew daily. The church cannot grow daily if the church is not doing the church God's way. We've got to make a decision that I want to do it God's way. God's way always works. I don't want to just get to heaven. If it was just about getting to heaven, then go in a corner like the Thessalonians. Actually, you know what they did? They went into the caves. They left their homes and they went into caves and huddled in a commune scenario. And Paul wrote them and said, what are you doing? Occupy till he comes. Go down there and share the gospel. Some of you have never even thought about going into a group. Some of you didn't know we had them. And I want to encourage you, now is the time. We're entering into a season in a year to honestly, we don't know what freedoms we're going to have by the end of this year. Now, I'm not political, but I said it a few weeks ago. The platform that is now taking over has been very clear what they want to do to the church. And we've got to be aware that that is reality and that true persecution will be coming to the church. We're experiencing it right now in Ithaca. Right now in Ithaca, was dealing with it actually during song service, where we literally had to contact our lawyers, our constitutional lawyers, because we're getting pushback in Ithaca right now because they're so liberal. And literally they said they're going to post something about the church in Ithaca this morning, and I reminded them the deal we cut the other day with our lawyers. You got to realize something. I've never had to deal with that before. We're having to deal with that stuff now because we live in a different world. Change forward. You're going to need the kingdom of God this year. And some of you, you've just gone into hibernation because of the hidden wounds. Get healed up because God needs your life to help somebody else. You're not called to be alone. You're called to be in a group. Come on up here, young lady. Talk to me about groups real quick. How many groups, Miss Jen? Miss Jen is over the groups ministry of the church. How many groups do we have?
We have over 49 groups between three campuses.
That's a lot of groups.
That's a lot of groups. That's a lot of fellowship. And that's a lot of growing.
How many here, right here in this in the Horseheads?
We have over 36 right here in Horseheads.
36 groups. That means there's somebody that you can love to hate.
Well, yeah. That's true.
There's somebody, there's some kind of group. What kind of groups do we have?
Oh, we have men's groups, because men's groups meets on Wednesdays at 6:30, but we have men's groups. We have women's groups, so we have women's groups that meet here on Thursdays, but also in people's homes. We have groups that are for different ages. Now, you use the word...
more mature.
More mature groups, right? We have less mature groups. So if you want to go from his kid's age up to older, we mature. Got you covered. Like, literally, we've got you covered. We have Awaken. We have Upward.
What's Awaken? Awaken is tonight, by the way.
It is tonight.
If you are 19 to 30, we have a group for you tonight that you know Pastor Obi is over that thing, and he's a beast.
And there's food.
And there's food.
There's food. Yeah. There's food. We have book studies, so if you just want to go in and get a book study, you want to dive in deep and you want to get into the Word and then you want to apply that Word to your life so it can change you from the inside out, go to a book study. We've got those too.
I love the motorcycle ministry, his Line Crossers. I love jumping on the hog, going and finding the closest ice cream store.
But, you know, I personally love the small groups out of homes. I mean, the learners have one. Ours is a spicy group. We got some spicy personalities, and we get to bait in the Word a little bit. It's good.
Now, Barbies, you guys still have a group?
They got a group.
They have a group. Their group's pretty good size, isn't it? Yeah.
And that's family there.
We have Uproar. We have Uproar, which has their groups within the groups. Yes. We have
Women's Activity Group. Even this Saturday coming up, we have a Women's Activity Group meeting to do their faith walls.
That's really
cool.
So
they're going to support, and they're going to pray. They're going to press in with prayer on every word that they write down. It's good.
You know what's really good, too, is that... there's so many groups that are available.
Yeah.
I know some here like Jeeps.
Yes. Yes.
We could have a Jeep group.
We're working on that right now. We
could have a Jeep group.
We're working on a Jeep group.
Are you really?
Yes. But details to come later. But
okay.
Yes.
So there's so many groups that you can get involved with.
And
get around people that you like and don't like.
Yeah.
But it's the way to grow. You know, we need to grow up. Our American church is soft. American church is soft. We're going to need each other this next year more than we've ever needed each other before. And isolation is not going to work.
You need
to get into a group. You need to get around people that can encourage, build, strengthen, kick, box, punch, drag.
And pray.
Oh, yeah. Pray. We have prayer groups, too.
Let's move mountains. Right? That's what we do. We move mountains.
I love Miss Jen, don't you? And who else can stand up here and correct the pastor while we're talking about stuff? I love you too, baby.
It's
it is. It's family. And you know, that's what we're known as, His Tabernacle Family Church. You don't always like your family, but you do love your family. Amen. And even though you don't always like everybody in the family, somebody said to me, well, I'm not coming to church because so-and-so is. Really? So when you get to heaven, you're going to go to the other side of heaven? Oh, no, by the way. Oh, that's right. You're not making it. Because if you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. So they go to heaven and you don't because you haven't learned how to forgive. Oh, my God! Sorry.
Join a group.
How can they join a group?
You can join a group by going to histabernacle.com/groups and checking out all the groups that are available to you. Or you can come see me and all of our group hosts and group coaches at the back desk in the foyer where there's all of the colorful balloons. We would love to get you connected.
Amen. Thank
Amen.
You. She is spicy, isn't she? She is spicy. I know 50% of you are in groups. I'd like to get at least 25% more of you in groups today. I think that you'll love it. And maybe you're mature enough, so you should be leading a group. It can be an activity group. I know in First Service, they have a hiking group. You know, you can do a ping pong group, a knitting group, nose picking group. You can do any kind of group you want. We don't want to go with that one? Okay. We're not going with the nose picking group. But we need each other. And we need each other now. Amen?
Amen.
So join a group today. Amen. Bow your heads with me this morning. Afternoon, actually. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's only one group, really, that is the most important. And that is knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He created community by calling you sons and daughters. But you can't be if you don't ask Him. Sincerity will not get you to heaven. Being a good person will not get you to heaven. Being baptized as a child will not get you to heaven. Being a good person or following your parents will not get you to heaven. There's only one name under heaven which all you shall be saved. It is the name of Jesus. Today, if you would like Jesus to change you from the inside out, you want to become part of the family of God, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. He is awesome. Does anybody here want Jesus in your life? You know you're not right. You need to this morning. I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, 3, get your hand up. 3, 2, and last call, and 1. Praise the Lord. Pastor Cody.
Pastor gives the best warnings ever when you're up. Now, look, we're going to take our tithes and offerings this morning, and I was thinking about Genesis chapter 22. It's a really interesting chapter. It's where God calls Abraham to give his son. But there's two times in this chapter where we find words that have never been used yet in the Bible. It's crazy. The word love is not found in the Bible until Genesis chapter 22. When Abraham, where God is describing that Abraham loves his son Isaac. The second word that's found the first time in the Bible is worship. When Abraham was standing at the base of the mountain and looked at his servants and said, me and the boy, the one he loved, the offering God had asked him to give. He looked and he said, I'm going to go with my offering and we're going to worship. It's wild that 22 chapters, we don't find the words love or worship, and they're associated with an offering for God to check his heart. And I just want to encourage you, what we know about his tabernacle is we don't love money. We in this body, we are not lovers of money. We love God. And we give, we sow, we tithe, and we believe the word of God. But it's great because money, offering, tithes are also associated with love and worship. And I want to encourage you to love and worship God in our finances, which is what a lot of us give most of our week towards. So, on your chair, we have an envelope. We have a couple envelopes, but we have a blue envelope, and that's for our tithes and our offerings. We teach the Bible here. It's simple. To give a tithe, 10% of whatever we earn belongs to God, and He wants it back to check our heart. And that's what we do. On the way out, there's a bucket in the back. If you'd like to give an offering, if you'd like to go above and beyond that, I'd encourage you to go ahead and do so. God is a blesser of those who He can trust. And today, as we give our offering, we don't just do it quietly. We don't do it ashamed. We declare the word of God over this gift. So as you fill that out, let's go ahead and stand to our feet in this place. And we have a supernatural blessing that's found in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And this morning, Pastor Bryce is going to lead us in the supernatural declaration. Will you put your hands together for Pastor Bryce as he leads the supernatural declaration?
Me, I'm blessed going in.
I'm blessed going in.
I'm blessed going out.
I'm blessed going out.
I'm blessed in my storehouse.
I'm blessed in my storehouse.
And I'm blessed in my basket.
And I'm blessed in my basket.
The blessings are gonna chase me down.
The blessings are gonna chase me down.
They're gonna trip me up.
They're gonna trip me up.
Cause I'm a child of God.
Cause I'm a child of God.
Shout, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Tithes and offerings in the back. Don't forget to join a group. We love you. Have a great day.